A very good morning, my dear listeners. Very good morning, Namibia. It's a Monday morning, the 12th of January. It's one of the days that in a Namibian calendar, that's a very special day when we have, you know, school start today and traffic. It's quite hectic. Hopefully, and majority of you are coming back to work today, and hopefully, as you travel from, you know, as you travel to work this morning and to school and dropping, you know, the loved ones to school, make sure that you driving, you know, you are safe, you're driving safe, and you follow the traffic rules, you know, and life. Just begin now. So we are now seriously now. The year just started for many people today. And so it just started today. So the 12th of January. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. And thanks for tuning in and for having you at this point in time, making Eagle FM your choice at this point in time. So my name is Mike Oshoveli. They call me Big Mike. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, so economic and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make the sense, to make sense of the big stories, you know, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here. A little, you know, joke and witty here and there, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here, you know, to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of that bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories that are going on. So welcome. So our time is about 7 minutes past the hour 8, and as usual, if you're just joining us, we start with our segment on this day in Africa, the segment where we journey back in time to explore the moments that shape this incredible continent. Today, January the 12th, is a day packed with major turning points. Well, let's dive into that right in. So let's dive right in now. So now, first, we travel to the beautiful island of Zanzibar in 1964. So this day, a storm of political change actually erupted. Just a month after gaining independence from Britain, a local African revolutionaries rose up and overthrew the Sultan. Now, the Sultan, who have been in the power for centuries. Now, this was Zanzibar's revolution, you know, a dramatic event that completely reshaped the nation and the nation's leadership. So it led to the creation of the People's Republic of Zanzibar, and down the line, you know, paved the way for Zanzibar to unite with Tanganyika, forming the country we now know as Tanzania. So now let's fast forward to 1970. On this day, a long and a painful chapter in Nigeria history finally came to a close. The Nigerian Civil War, often called Biafran War, ended. After nearly 3 years of terrible fighting, the forces from the breakaway region of Biafra surrendered to the Nigerian federal government. So this conflict had been rooted in had deep roots in ethnic and political tension, and caused a massive humanitarian crisis. Now, the surrender on January 12, 1970, marked the beginning of a long road to healing and reunion for the country. But our journey into the past takes a dark turn, you know, all the way back to 1904. When you hear 1904, you know that we're talking about, you know, the land of rape in what is today. So it takes place in what we call today the land of the brave. This date marks the beginning of a horrific genocide. So German colonial forces launched a campaign to exterminate the Herero and the Nama peoples. So it was a brutal and a systematic campaign of violence, and is now recognized as one of the very first genocides of the 20th century. So it is a solemn reminder of every dark period in a colonial history. So, and finally, let's end on a more hopeful note, okay? And not all events of this day are about conflict. For millions of people across North Africa, January the 12th is a day of celebration. So it is Yenaya, the Berber New Year. So the Berber or Amazigh people are the indigenous people of the region. And in countries like Algeria, Libya, this is a vibrant cultural holiday. So it's a time to celebrate ancient traditions, share special meals, and welcome in a new year according to their traditional calendar. So, and that is your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome. And this is Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us. It's always our pleasure to have you and to be in your company. So Monday, January the 12th, what is our thought for the day today? The thought for the day: you can never be happy at expenses of the happiness of others. You can never be happy at the expenses of the happiness of others. So now the proverbs or the saying means that true lasting happiness cannot come from harming, hurting, or disadvantaging, you know, other people. So your happiness cannot come from harming or hurting or disadvantaging other people. So in other words, if your joy is built on someone else suffering, or someone else's loss or unhappiness, that joy is not genuine or sustainable. So, and it often leads to negative consequences like guilt or conflict or loss of trust. So the Proverbs encourage mutual respect and fairness, where people seek joy in ways that uplift others rather than actually bring them down. So genuine happiness tend to grow from kindness, equity, and cooperation, rather than at the expense of others. So in your choices and decisions that you make today, make sure that, you know, in searching for happiness, make sure that, that comes from, you know, kindness, equity, and cooperations, rather than the expenses of others. So you can never be happy at the expenses of the happiness of others. That is our thought for the day. Good morning and welcome. So what we can look forward today, welcome and thanks for joining us this morning. And what we can look forward today is that in the Namibian, you know, according to the daily newspaper, they said the cabinet has actually approved a new vocational educational pathways which actually the ministry have actually, you know, corrected the daily newspaper. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the at these vocational education pathways that the ministry actually is at advanced stage in terms of discussing this approach. And also, as you know, the Villager is also out. It comes out every Monday. We have today's edition. There is also a story that I think it could be a very good example, not directly, but it linked to what we're going to talk this firstly, if we get time. So the Iman advocate for local geological and certificate services. And so these are local, you know, this is, yeah, so it's advancing, advocating for local geological and certification service. So in hoping now it will enhance value addition. We're going to look at that story if we still have enough time to look at that. And you know what? Your participation will also, is always part of the show. So you will be welcome to come through and have your say, your contribution, your opinion, your reaction to anything that we're going to discuss or interview. So, and I will have Dorothy Nangolo, the president of NANSO, around 8:30 there. Just to give a perspective on this new vocational education pathways that the ministry has it's discussing, and also we will have also see if we can get a reaction from some other people as well in the education sector. All right, so make sure that you tune in, and we'll be back in a sec. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Very good morning to you, Namibia. And how are you this morning? I think it must be a very, it's one of those hectic day, and in the life of many Namibians at this point in time. So hopefully, you are not doing things too late. Because there are some people actually still stranded on this side of the world. So yesterday I still see a lot of number of people actually at that Okatana service where normally there are quite a lot of people waiting for transport. Not too many, but there were a number of people still there. School starts today, and hopefully you have already, you know, prepared yourself, you know, in advance, and you're not stressed at this point in time, running up and down like a headless chicken, as they said. You're not stuck somewhere because you couldn't go earlier to, you know, to your destination. So good morning and welcome. So as long as we will be in your company, wherever you find yourself, whatever situation is going on, so make sure that you tune in Eagle FM, and we will be in your company. And of course, you know, inform you what is happening, you know, around you and in the world. And today we're talking about something cabinet. So according to Daily Newspaper, has approved, and a brand new pathway. Talking about that, you know, when you get into grade 9, you know, in our TVET college, in a TVET college, so you will have that, you will have now an opportunity where you can actually, you know, go through that process where you can able to actually obtain higher level of education up to the level of doctoral degree. And just through the vocational training itself. So, well, I think it was, as I said earlier on, probably the ministry felt that, you know, the article is misleading in terms of like when you get in grade 9, now the learner now, a grade 9 learner can now attain a university level qualifications, which including now the doctoral degrees, which, you know, and through now the TVET system. So, which the ministry said that is factually incorrect, and it misrepresenting the ministry's plans. Okay, we got to get that very clear. So the ministry said, well, the cabinet has not yet considered or approved a national pathway allowing a grade 9 learners to progress directly through the TVET system in obtaining a university level qualification. But as we know, the discussion of the TVET pathway at an advanced stage in that regard. And that's what we're going to look at in a broader, as an approach that was, as in a route that the government is actually discussing or planning. So now before you switch of thinking, oh, this is just another government announcement. Oh, stay with me, because this affects every parent worrying about their child's future. Definitely. So maybe that would be something that you need to, you know, to consider. And every young person who didn't make it through grade 12. So, and also employers struggling, you know, to find the skilled workers. So this is big. This is big. And we need to unpack it properly. So we will have Ms. Nangolo just to hear from student perspective. And probably we would be able to get someone as well to hear their perspective as well. So to understand this whole thing, let's give it to you. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background or a context, okay? So where we have been and why this is becoming, why this plan is being, you know, discussed. Now, for many years, Namibia has had one main higher way to success. I call it the higher way. You know, main one highway to success. So you know the route, okay? The route is grade 1 through grade 12, okay? That's the route. Write your NSSC exam, and if you pass, maybe you go to UNAM or you go to NUST or you go to IUM and get your degree and get a job. That's the route. But what if you don't pass grade 10? What if you don't pass grade 10? What if you struggle with math? That's the most important one. You know, what if you struggle with math? What if school just isn't your thing? You know, that route, that's just school isn't your thing. Now, and for too long now, we have treated TVET as as a consolation prize. You know, the place you go when you fail, kind of like when you fail the real system, hey, then you can go to Tibet. Yeah? And we have created this mentality that working with our hand is somehow less valuable than actually working with the books. We have created that mentality. And with that mentality, look at where it got us. Look where it got us. Thousands of young people leaving school with nothing, absolutely nothing. No certificate, no skills, no hope. Eh? So meanwhile, also on the other side, meanwhile, our industry are crying out. Eh? They are crying out for, we need electricians. They are crying out, we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need technicians, skilled tradespeople. But we keep pushing everyone towards academic degree. We keep pushing, you know. That has become the mindset. And many parents now, if a child comes and says, I want to become an electrician, a plumber, that, as I said, that's seen as a consolation prize because you couldn't get into the real system. Now, this mismatch have been really painful for everyone. You know, fresh graduate can't find work. Companies can't find workers. So something had to give. Something had to give. So we needed to do something. And therefore this, so here's what now, what changed, or the, what is now the idea, if you like, what is now the plan? So the plan is actually, to actually approve a complete pathway, a vocational route that runs parallel to now the academic one. So that's the idea. So, and here's how it works. Okay. Here's how it works, and pay attention because this is important. Okay. Now, a young person finished grade 9. Okay. They can now enter the TVET system at what they call the introductory or foundational level through community skill development centers. Those centers like COSDEC, CAIEC, you know, and youth skill training centers. So first of all, they go to those centers. So, and these centers, they provide training in basic technical skills, you know, workplace safety, hands-on exposure to different trades. So even if you dropped out earlier, let's say for instance, a child dropped out earlier, there are foundation programs. And those foundation programs, they build up your, they will build up your literacy, they will build up your numeracy, okay? Your basic technical competence, the basic technical competence of the child. So then you progress. So then you progress step by step through different levels now. You progress step by step through different levels, which one, and each one, you know, build on the last. So each one build on the last. And here is now the headlines. So here is the headline. If you keep going, okay, if you keep going, keep meeting the standard, you can eventually reach level 7. You know, that's a bachelor degree. And beyond that, even a PhD. So all through the vocational system. So the education minister, Minister Sanit Steenkamp, emphasized this. This is not competing with university. So she emphasized that this is not competing with the university. It's a complementing them. It is complementing them. TVET colleges will focus on applied, practice-oriented qualifications. University keep going, keep doing academic research and theory as it's usual. So different lanes, same destination. Different lanes, same destinations. So We're going to unpack this a little bit deeper later on. I have some questions.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And what we're going to do now, we're quickly going to, you know, to call to see if we can get Dolphy Nangolo just to give us her perspective, you know, of this transformative move from the student perspective. So stay tuned. We will be back in a minute, in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
A very good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. And as we were talking earlier, as I was giving that introduction, we have this an exciting development that could reshape actually the future of education in our country, as the cabinet has recently, you know, approved a groundbreaking national pathway, you know, from that allows, you know, from the level of, you know, grade nine student to progress, with all the process that have to be followed, you know, progress away from vocational path to even a higher level of education, like maybe a degree and a PhD. So yes, yeah, student can now take hands-on technical education and progress all the way to the highest level of academic achievement. So with me today is the president of Namibia's National Student Organization, NANSO, Dolphy Nangolo. She's here to share her thoughts on this transformative move and how it could actually impact Namibia's student. Dolphy, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. So this is such a big development. What is your initial reaction to this new pathways?
Thank you very much for the question. I think initially my reaction or NANSO's reaction is one where we are very happy. And I think as the interview goes or as the conversation goes, you realize why we say we are very happy. But we applaud the government at this point. I think it's a critical decision. Mm. But not only impacts the lives of the trainees, but also impacts the entire field, the entire TVET field,
yeah.
Be it at the national level or at an international level.
So you have been a powerful voice for students, and you once said that TVET contribute to our country and it is not valued. Do you feel like this decision is the first real step in changing this mindset?
Yes, definitely. I think a decision like this one is the biggest step, or is a huge leap towards ensuring that TVET is somewhat valued. And when I say valued, I say I speak of how there's this notion that we need to actively debunk as a country where somebody who's in the TVET field is considered academically underperforming, or somebody is considered illiterate because they are in the TVET field.
Yeah.
But this comes from a lack of progression in the professional career. Because once you compare TVET qualifications to other qualifications, for instance, you see that there's not much progression in terms of an academic level.
Mm.
So it's issues like this that already speak towards those problematic notions that perhaps TVET is not or should be as undervalued as it is now. But to answer your question, I can say this is a major step towards addressing that and ensuring that our trainees or those that are in the TVET field are able to be on the same level academically as any other person who's doing a degree or any other qualification is able to progress.
Yeah. Let's talk about the 14-year-old in grade 9. Is it too early to ask them to choose a vocational path? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's never too early for somebody to choose a path. Mm-hmm. And I say this because with skills like TVET, the great thing about TVET is you need to be passionate about it. You need to have the skills. Although you've not gone through the official training as of yet or the process of the training, as a learner who is leaning towards the TVET field is visible as early as grade 7 because of what they are passionate about, what they are interested about. I think you are able to pick that up. So hence why the current setup now is a great setup. I think eventually, as time goes, we would want the same setup to be deployed across other fields where a child as early as grade 9, for instance, is passionate about medicine.
Yeah.
Everything they are doing is already then aligned to medicine, or is passionate about the law, everything they are doing is aligned to the law. So it's easier for this child to progress at all other levels. So I think the current setup now would make sense.
Yeah.
I think also for TVET is a very skill-centered profession. You need to actually know how to use your hands. You need to know how to create, how to build. And that can't start once you're 18 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, as you said, this current setup would make sense. What do you think this will mean for students who have dropped out of school in the past? Will this make education more accessible for them as well?
I think this is a very tricky question. Mm. And I say it's tricky because not all learners who've dropped out of school are interested in TVET. You know, it comes back to the notion of We think of TVET as a dumping site for those that are underperforming in the academic space. Mm. No, those that have dropped out, not all of them want to go into TVET. So you shouldn't consider TVET as a dumping site to say those that have dropped out automatically will flood into TVET. Not at all.
Yeah,
we have those that perhaps have dropped out because the curriculum does not align with what they want. Those ones will get an opportunity to go into the TVET field. But those that simply don't want anything to do with TVET, they'll continue to be either on the streets or find expression elsewhere. But to answer your question, it improves access to education for those that are passionate about the TVET field or those that are in the TVET field. Because access to education in its all is not just accessing one level of education.
Yeah.
Access to education means all-around access to education. It means even going up to PhD level, master's level, that is access to education. So I think in that, yes, it then improves access to education for all our trainees or prospective trainees.
Mm. So one of the main goals is to reduce the failure rate. How do you think the TVET system can achieve this?
The failure rate, sorry, just to get your question, is it the failure rate for trainees or just generally?
Just generally. You know, the whole idea is actually when the plans, as I hear from the minister, as from the CEO of the NTA, is that one of the main goals is actually to reduce the failure rate. So my question is how do you think the TVET system can achieve this?
All right, thank you for the question. Now I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think what we've discovered as NANSO is sometimes, and you see with the results that come out tomorrow,
yeah,
you will see that there are patterns in terms of performance that indicate something. You'll have your grade, your ordinary level learners who are doing exceptionally well in other subjects. So you will realize that they're doing exceptionally well in certain subjects and poorly in other subjects. I think all these things are pointing to a trend of perhaps learners are not aligning with this subject, or it simply does not align with their career aspirations.
Yeah.
So I think that increases the failure rate, because once you have a learner who's forced to go through AS level,
yeah,
who's passionate about carpentry, for instance, boiler making, now you're forcing this learner to go through AS level and to go do subjects like accounting, business studies,
yeah,
entrepreneurship, whatever the case may be. Sorry, maybe business studies and entrepreneurship are a terrible example, because somebody in the TVET field would really use this subject.
Yeah.
So maybe accounting, life science, or whatever the case may be. Once you force this learner to go up to AS level doing this subject, if there's something we've learned as NANSO, is passion does not lie. If students or learners are uninterested in that field, they don't have any dedication towards it. So I think some of those issues also contribute, because I think the TVET system is also set up in such a brilliant way that the teaching is very much practical. So when somebody aligns with practical teaching, they may not perform too well with theoretical teaching, or teaching that requires a lot of theory, if I make sense.
Yeah.
So hence why you see that there's underperformance there. And you will realize that some of these learners will go on to do TVET courses, and they'll do exceptionally well, cum laude. They will end up leading and topping their classes. And it, you know, proves that TVET is not for underperforming people. It's just sometimes there's a mismatch in the learner's passion or what they're interested in.
Yeah. So in talking about mismatch, how important is it for education, now we're talking about TVET, to align with industry's need? Do you think this new model is the solution?
Definitely. We, very earlier on last year, NANSO declared, 2024 actually, NANSO declared that TVET is most definitely the future, if not amongst the future fields that will be leading this country's economy. And I say this because the world where we stand right now requires human beings or citizens to create, to create, to manufacture, and to build. You know, with the fourth industrial revolution already on the rise, as a country, a developing country like Namibia, we must be able to create, we must be able to contribute, you know. We have industries like green hydrogen that requires people from the TVET industry. It requires people that are skilled. So I think it comes back to a point of TVET is one of our most critical fields in this country, and we've undervalued it for so long. And I say critical not just in the aspect of the future or the potential that TVET holds, but right now, with the low unemployment rate, train a brilliant young person, give them a toolbox, give them opportunity, and you see how they create employment for themselves and other people. I think that already just shows you. If you look at people who've been trained at vocational training centers, how they conduct themselves and conduct their business and how they survive on a day-to-day basis, you'll be very impressed that somebody has studied carpentry, they've opened their workshop with absolutely no capital, no support whatsoever, a workshop under a tree, but they're able to provide for their children.
Yeah.
Now imagine capacitating this person, giving them a proper workshop, and giving them four or five other people that they can employ. Imagine how far and what that does for that person and for the economy of the country. That's just a practical example of the potential of the TVET industry.
Yeah. So you just mentioned unemployment, and there has been a lot of talk about higher unemployment rates for graduates in Namibia. Do you think this new pathway will help address that issue?
Definitely. Like I said prior, the TVET industry or TVET in its own capacitates its graduates, so it's trainees with skills that are perhaps difficult to find in other fields or other professions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because lawyers, for instance, we are trained at university level to be employable immediately. Lawyers are trained to say you need to, once you're done with your degree,
yeah,
you go and find attachment as a candidate legal practitioner. You're already in its own, the first starting point is you need to be employed somewhere.
Yeah.
Then you need to practice for a few years or whatever the case may be before you can start your own law firm. But for trainees who've done TVET, immediately upon receiving your qualification, you can go and create your workshop. You can semi-formal, you know, businesses. You can go and do something with your skills. That's how easy it is for them. And, you know, there's no, they don't have unnecessary bureaucracy in terms of when can you actually deploy and practice your skills. If you're a carpenter, you start in your house, in your own backyard. So I think that already says a lot about how it creates employment. And I don't think the challenge with people seeing that TVET creates employment is people view employment as somebody who receives a paycheck.
Yeah.
So they, when they think of employment, they only see a paycheck and they see a formal employer and an employee. Mm. But they don't see somebody who's under the tree with two or three people assisting them. Making tables and chairs. They don't see that as employment. And that's where the challenge is as a country.
Mm.
We won't see the potential of TVET if we don't change our view of employment, or at least allow those who've done TVET subjects or who've been trained to then be able to meet the requirements of formal employment by capacitating them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a mention of phased implementation of this reform. Do you think the pace of this transformation would be quicker enough?
I think with every transformation, it takes time so that it's not rushed.
Yeah.
And government has shown that sometimes implementation in phases works because you are able to see through the piloting of the decision, you're able to see what works and what doesn't work. You're able to see and follow your first cohort and see how that works. Where it doesn't work, you then have an opportunity to fix it. So I think it gives us an opportunity as a country to assess the possibilities to redefine what works. Because remember, TVET, there are challenges of, you know, not professionalizing it, but there are challenges of advancing TVET to the level of PhD, for instance, or master's, because there's a question of, do we have trainers that have reached that level with PhDs, how many are they that are professors in the field that can then teach? How many of them are skilled, particularly in certain areas?
Mm.
And then you also have the issue of the infrastructure and resources, because you cannot say you are training somebody and they are studying to become a doctor in boiler making, for instance, but you don't have the literature in the country.
Yeah.
You don't have the specified tools in the country. And one of our challenges now is we don't have enough tools. We don't have, our tools are outdated.
Yeah.
So if you go to our TVET centers, you realize that our tools are extremely, extremely, extremely outdated. So there's that issue as well.
Mm. Yeah, the minister also admitted that not all TVET centers are ready for this change yet. What are NANSO's biggest concern about the rollout?
I think our biggest concern, like I said in my previous answer, is that there's an issue of capacitation and readiness, like the minister has said, because if you are rolling out something like this, you need to ensure that all our centers are ready, so that there's no gap. There's no gap in terms of access. So you need to make sure that the tools are up to date, the lecture halls are up to date, you have specialized teaching staff. So you need your professors. Where do you get them from? The expenses around there. And you also need to update and upgrade the curriculum heavily, because If somebody is able to go up to a master's level, then the certificate must also then advance. The degree must advance. The master's program must advance. And then you can get to PhD. So these are all our concerns. But NANSO is never an organization that focuses on the bad side of things or focuses on the negative. We always want to focus on the positive. So with time, we know that these issues can be addressed. I know NTA is doing a remarkable job as well in trying to bridge these gaps. So I think as we go, as we roll out the decision, we'll then see what works and what doesn't work. But right now, those are the pressing issues that we're also concerned about.
And how will NANSO be involved in making sure student voices are heard as these changes are implemented over the coming years?
I think NANSO's role is, our role is to act as the ombudsman of the students without any prejudice. Our job is to ensure that students' rights are enforced and that students' rights are upheld and that government is held accountable for their decisions. So our job is always to be the watchdog to ensure that this thing is being implemented properly, that there are no questions of access, but you also don't have a situation where somebody is then going to do a master's degree, but the master's degree is useless or is valueless because of the process, of the input process of getting there. Yeah. So you don't want somebody who has a master's degree from VTC, but this master's degree is not recognized internationally. That's not what we want.
Yeah.
So it's also then monitoring and ensuring that it's a proper process, because this is a profession. It must be recognized as a profession and it cannot be watered down. So I think that is our job.
Yeah. So what kind of feedback have you heard from students around the country? Are they excited about this shift in education?
I think the students are very happy, especially those in the field. They're very excited because their challenge was always they do TVET, and then when they want to then advance to other educational levels, they end up doing other qualifications. So they end up going to perhaps do something else, you know, in order to get to that master's level or PhD level. So it's quite unfair, but they're very happy that now they can remain within their field and grow within their field.
Now, if you could give one piece of advice to a ministerial committee planning this, what would it be, coming from the student point of view?
I think the advice would be not to exclude the trainees. NANSO does not take lightly the exclusion of young people in decisions that affect the lives of young people. I think it was quite unfortunate that we were excluded from the task force that had to deal with fully subsidized education. We don't accept mere consultation.
Yeah.
We are the stakeholders. These things affect us. So we don't recognize mere consultation. Consulting us for 30 minutes to us does not mean anything to us. But including and appointing a trainee, an active trainee who's at VTC, NEMT, or whatever the case may be, on that committee is what is important to us, because that person can speak on the issues of young people, they can speak on the needs of the trainees.
Yeah.
But a committee of just professionals speaking about things that affect us, for us, that is not fair and we don't recognize it. So I think even the team that is working on this, the ministry, must be able to bring young people on the table. Consultation for us is not inclusion. Consultation is merely an administrative process. With everything, you have to consult. Even us as NANSO, we consult each other on a daily. But it doesn't mean we are included. You are being consulted. But once you are part of the decision-making, that is inclusion. Consultation is not... consultation is a recommendation, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's not a decision. It's a recommendation. So, but once you include us, we are able to be part of the decision-making and shape the decision. So I think my advice is straightforward. Do not exclude the students and the trainees.
Yeah.
It becomes redundant for you to only consult us when you need to consult us on a certain aspect. But it's important to include us throughout.
Yeah. So when you look at it, when you look at this whole thing in terms of big picture, in terms of the national economy, how do you think this vocational education pathway will benefit Namibia in the long term?
I think, like I stated earlier, we are looking at growth in terms of economic growth. This is a very critical industry.
Yeah.
Especially where we are now is in the world, is we require a citizenship that is skilled, that is able to create and build, number one. But also TVET, like I said, when I spoke about unemployment and the creation of employment, TVET plays a very critical role. So I think in the long run, you have national development because you'll have people who are skilled, you know. Our challenge now is we have engineers, we are grooming or we are growing, sorry, we are graduating our own engineers here in the country from UNAM, from NAST. But we don't have people that are using their hands. So if there's a certain machine that needs to be built, you can have an engineer draw up the plan, but you'll have to import somebody to come and create this machine.
Yeah.
And that is a major issue. It's a major challenge for us. So I think importing skills is what is very problematic for us as a country. So with TVET, we're able to at least close that gap on some of this skills imports to then ensure that our own people are able to build and are able to create in our country. But beyond that, TVET on its own continues to remain a very, very critical critical field in our country. So advancing TVET already now and professionalizing it would really go a long way for us.
All right. And lastly, Dorothy, what message do you have for students who are thinking about entering now the TVET system under this new pathway?
I think it's, first of all, just to wish them the very best of luck. I think, again, to debunk the notion that TVET is for people to go and be lazy or is considered an underperforming field academically. I think now with this advancement is they have an opportunity to advance their qualifications.
Yeah.
So they must take advantage of it. Don't go and just do a certificate when you can go up to do your degree or your master's in TVET. So really to encourage them to grow academically in the field, but also to give back value. Every decision, every commitment that government makes to education is an investment that the entire country is making. So every investment must have some sort of output. It must have some sort of benefit for the greater country. So I think this is how I want students to look at it, to say there's been an investment. How do they pay back the rest of the country? How do they deploy their skills? How do they advance their skills, you know? And I say this because NANSA has a particularly good relationship with trainees. Even now, we'll be launching our Fix My School campaign for the year.
Yeah.
Where we are fixing the broken infrastructure at the schools. And trainees continue to be of great assistance. So I think through activities like that, our trainees give back. They give back or they pay back the investment that the country has made in their field.
Dorothy Nangolo, President of NANSO, thank you so much for your time and your incredible clear insight this morning. It's a massive conversation and one we will certainly be following closely. So we appreciate your helping us unpacking it for our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me this morning, and I wish the listeners a great day ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. That's Dorothy Nangolo, president of NANSO, unpacking for us the plan of government plans introducing the complete pathway through vocational training and through vocational system higher level of education achievement. So you're most welcome now to come through. We're looking forward to seeing how this progresses and how it impacts the future of Namibian youth. So the line is open now for you to give your general feeling about this, your take, your reaction to our discussion, and generally from the announcement of this. So what is your take? What is your
What is your opinion? What is your contribution to this? So 0833-66091. Last Friday, I couldn't. Oh no, it reminds me of what happened last week. It was I nearly said a word that I wouldn't say on air. So look, so our telephone number. Yeah, now last Friday you couldn't reach us. So, but now please do make sure that you get involved. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you are welcome to come through.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayakudo nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back, and welcome back. So, yeah, I just had a discussion with Dorothy Nangolo, the president of NANSO, giving her perspective on this groundbreaking announcement. So, what is your take? Do come through and have your say. Very good morning.
Welcome. Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
But this is your area, isn't it?
Very much. true indeed. I'm always also in the fancy when it comes to these things that you know.
Through this, now you'll be able to do your PhD, man.
Friends, I can't wait. If it's just like a recruiter in the free education,
yeah.
I'm sure we are going to get it.
Yeah.
That's the mic.
Mm.
I think that's a good. At least the area, the better.
Yeah.
Grade 9, it's a good thing that a kid can choose his career.
Yeah.
On time. Because some of us, we've been crying out for this, that it's supposed to be implemented in the grade. I mean, when we graduate, even.
Yeah.
When the kids are entering the what? Secondary school.
Yeah. The other thing the ministry is saying, we also have to be very careful. What the ministry have clarified is that, you know, there would be, if someone from grade 9 have actually first to go through introductory or foundational level, means you go through community skill development centers that cost their kayak or youth skill training centers. And those centers normally provide training, you know, in basic technical skills, workplace safety, hands-on exposure to different trades. So that's have to be clear. It's not just like, you know, from there, there are certain things that the process that stages that they have to go through before now they go into the system where they start now to with whatever they want to do. Yeah.
For me, it's a good, that is already like a career garden.
Yeah. Mm.
Where you know now you are choosing the right path for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, people have been, we've been stuff up with things which we don't understand even what I'm going to do with this in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are learning locust, you are learning what. And this thing has got nothing to do with you when you find out you are in the street.
Oma pako kwa akara peife. Yeah, ina mukara hamu ilongo.
Inamukala hamu wada ungope ife kansiku chota mwa diringana onge ipi.
Na hinami ya tari ipe mi longa maka tuine kucha pipe antro kweli mine timu wage bitari pili ya
esi. You see?
Mano problema, the thing is which I'm seeing in this country, where we are always introducing something but we don't talk to the people who are going to engage in.
Yeah, the stakeholders.
Stakeholders. Yeah, like the what the lady was saying.
Yeah.
That this consensus is sometimes just for 15 minutes. This person have to be a part of it. Throughout. So he can have input. And this is what I see in Tibet program, because even industrial players, let them say like people who own incumbents to produce and what's on, they are not really been consulted.
Yeah.
And this is where you find it, that the industry are moving towards far, and the Tibet are still the same. In the 1960s, we're still seeing the same program.
Yeah, but we still have a huge, like what you said, and even exactly. the minister have said that they are not upgrade. We need massive investment.
Massive to catch up with the world. That's why today.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why today. Even the Tibet themselves, like the trainees. That's why you find that only some small numbers of people are interested to go in. Because some of them students, they are still doing even the what? A NAMCOL for 5 years.
Yeah.
They are not interested because they are not exposed how good to be trained in Tibet.
Yeah.
They are not very also advertising.
That's true. Mm.
To attract more students to come in on board. Because now it's like the way we're putting it, you know, it's like the dumpy people, only us, we are applying to go to Tibet. But you find it even like in the other country, a person who's having A+, they are joining Tibet.
Yeah.
Because this is to do the practical. But in our country, we are more in theory. That's why I'm saying people who are coming from NAST, UNAM, they are given a first priority to the people who know how from VTC. And this is what is happening. Go around and check how many VTC graduates are roaming around the street without a job. Or they are engaged to another thing, like where they become a taxi drivers, where they become in other services. But these people remember one thing, that there's no empowerment when it comes to like maybe once you are done, not to be just given a toolbox, but there's a fund there available for you. If you can create your company, there's a way to for you to go ahead.
Yeah.
How many Tibet program people are still doing under what? Mechanic under the tree.
And actually, sometimes that's what make parents more.
I'm telling you, discouraging.
Discouraging. That's why parents want to go to UNAM rather than actually go through the Tibet. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's discouraging. As a parent, you are saying then that, what is this? I see him every day. He now doesn't have a job anymore. Now, but he trained for 3 years. Now he's the one who is repairing cars under the tree. So I don't want you to go through the same situation. You better go to study hard, even though you know that you can just go to improve your English for 5 years. But this person can be somewhere if he was in the Tibet program. That's what I'm saying. Really, they need to come up with something really.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. You know,
very much. It's a good idea.
It's a very impressive on paper.
I like it so much because some of us have been crying for it for so long.
Yeah.
And I think they heard our crying. This is the only way for you to build Namibia. And when you are talking about even the professor, most of the people who are mostly, we are importing them outside. Most of them, they are foreigners. We are barely even training our own people to become, from VTC to become a professor. Because the program is also complicated. You go there, you have to do what they call it. This is, it's a gap, what, when you are entering a NAST or UNAM for 1 year. what they call that, breathing program.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you have to go through that. But remember, this is a postgraduate person.
Yeah.
Who's just supposed to take over, and then you, from there, is able to be trained. That's what I'm saying. In Namibia, we do things differently. I don't know why we don't copy from other countries. But we can copy a lot of things, like in South Africa. But in Namibia, we do it the way around. Mm. When it comes to things which are really benefiting everybody.
All right, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks for coming through.
Cheers.
All right.
0833-66091. 0833-66091. So what is your opinion? What is your take? Yeah. So there are a couple of things. There are a couple of good points that Miss Nangola actually have mentioned. I have my own, critical questions. Okay. So like even certain things that Mandume also mentioned. I have a couple of questions and build up those question based maybe on the issues that we see. Now, one of the questions that I probably ask is this, is this really addressing the root problem? Now, we told this will reduce, one of the things that was said was it will reduce failure rates. Now, these are some of the things that I want to, that was said, critical question is that, let's think critically, let's be clear about why, and this, she alluded to this actually, and then just remind me of the points you make. So let's be clear why students fail in the first place, okay? So because one of the things that was mentioned is that it will reduce failure rate. Now, is it because the pathway aren't clear? Are the pathway not clear? Or is it because our schools are under-resourced, overcrowded classrooms, teachers who are overwhelmed? We have a lot of teachers who are overwhelmed. Learning materials arrive late or not at all. Yeah? Or not at all. So I'm thinking of schools in Ohangwena, in Kavango, in Kunene, where one teacher handles 50 students, where textbooks are shared between three learners. Now, if a child reaches grade 9 without solid literacy, solid literacy and numeracy, for example, is a vocational pathway going to fix that? Definitely not. Eh? A vocational pathway is not going to fix that. Or are we just moving the problem now from one system to another? So the foundation program that they have mentioned, the foundation program sounds good. It sounds good, but they require qualified instructor, as Ms. Nangolo said. Proper facilities. Time and resources. So that, and do we have those? That's the question. Do we have those? So that's the question. So we're talking about phased implementation of this. So hopefully, as I ask, how long do you think that's going to take? As I said, as now we're talking about with Ms. Mandume now, that It's going to require a lot of investment. Infrastructure, that we need to invest in infrastructure. Even the minister himself herself actually mentioned, acknowledged that. They need a massive upgrade, to actually be able to achieve what we want to. So it's an impressive idea, and we need to start somewhere, definitely. Now, the other question is, what about quality control, which she also touched on, Ms. Nangolo touched on, and Minister Steenkamp assures that all level 7 qualification will face the same quality standard as the university degrees, accreditations by NQA, external moderations, institutional audit. So it will, you know, that's what she said. That's what she said. She said that it will be definitely face the same quality standard as the university degree. Now, and that's very comforting. That's very comforting on the paper. Yeah, but let's remember on our track record. Let's remember our track record. We have had scandals in education before. Institution offering questionable qualifications, you know, standard that look good in policy document, but fail apart in practice. Yeah? So the minister herself admit not all TVET centers are ready for this. They will need infrastructure upgrades, lecturer development, strategic partnership. So and this phase medium term planning, it worries me, because in government language, medium term can mean 5 years, 10 years, and sometimes never, you know. Let's get to the caller.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
The big Mike.
You're welcome, man. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
Are you back in Windhoek?
I'll be there in the next few hours.
Oh, okay.
How are you doing?
No, we are fine. We are alive. You know, it's a new year. It's a new year. We hope that everybody's really, you know, full of energy to make a difference for our country, to build this country, you know?
Yeah, of course. That you are correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, that energy need to be renewed.
Yeah.
Our aspirations, our plans, and all these other things. It's a renewal, actually, of the year. And we are just at the beginning.
Yep, yeah.
When you come to VTC and all these other tertiary institutions,
yeah,
like your guest speaker has said, we are actually in a dilemma.
Yeah.
And this always comes because the parents, the stakeholders, they think that when the consultation is done, whether it's done through your institutions or through those unstructured formation,
yeah,
whether it be at the village areas, it's a consultation. Once you are consulted and you are invited on that consultation public platform, that means you can also take decision. Those recommendations that come out from the consultation meeting where you were, you are entrusted with that responsibility to ensure that the VTC, those who are going to VTC, come out with flying color.
Sometimes, Uncle Bona, you know that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes there are consultations that are done. Let's say, for example, you invited the village, people should come, and it's about 1 hour or 2 hours. It's when this thing is introduced, there's not enough questions. It's technical, you don't understand. That it's for some, sometimes for some, it's like a ticking. You're just ticking on the box that, well, we talk to the people. But you really haven't gone into, people didn't get a time to really understand what is this is all about, how will this help us and all that, and give their input genuinely, you understand? And you're right, when you're consulted, yeah, but in some cases, for some organization, this is just done like a tick the box. Yeah, we have consulted the people, you know, the box is ticked.
Once you are consulted, because the challenge is that many of those stakeholders, whether it's the non-governmental organization or private or whatever, once you are called to that consultation platform and you are there, maybe with your secretary or whatever, whoever. And those recommendations that are coming out, you now go home to your institution and you now look at which one is in our area. If it's in the area of economic, in the area of VTC, how do we do? The parents, for example, the parents and the caretakers, foster parents and all those ones, they are the ones who actually discourage learners to go to VTC, for example. When we say, the result of grade 12 are still coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, they're coming out.
And then now, when they come out, those who have got 20 points or lower than that, you say, these ones are useless. they didn't make it to academic.
They must go to VTC. They must go now to VTC.
They don't even encourage them to go to VTC.
Yeah.
They just say, yes, maybe it's going to start again. He's going to improve at NAMCOL, and because he or she has got a 20 points, they are not enough for university. Is it only university that produce artisan? No, university don't produce artisan or people who are technical or practically orientated. It is actually the people who go to those VTC with minimum points. And it does not mean that, yes, when they go there, they become useless, but they become developers of our industries. It is our parents, the parents themselves. They think that if somebody got 20 points, has become useless, which is not the case.
Yeah, if you look at the situation now, it's actually people who come from through VTC that are actually doing something for themselves than those who come from academic institutions. You understand?
Exactly.
So they're sitting at home, but those one penya pangirapo kamvero ifanma akalingo karushe no, you know.
Mike, those efforts aningapo kamvero aningapo shike. Even if they have not gone to VTC, they have gone through this informal education program.
Yeah.
Because they know, atulongo, nini mayo komake, practical. Malu, yote inongake VTC. Shapo ngenga tuti, hava nevonan so. Shashogo veriko, hatu jipodiva po minister, po the education na. No show. Kuta trombre ye kucha. Anava. They are not useless. They have got what they have, what it takes to develop our industry and all these things. Mala shotare kevenyanwe teacher, nesa. Mala, that area is oversupplied.
That's the mindset we grew up with. We think if you are a teacher, if you are a doctor, if you're what, you know, that's more prestigious. But if you're a plumber or what, electrician and whatever, the dirty one, those are not the area you shouldn't go to. Yeah, it's a mentality that we grew up with.
We must demystify that kind of wrong mentality.
Exactly, that's what Nangolo was saying. Miss Nangolo was saying, definitely. Yeah.
So, Mike.
All right.
Let's create this kind of awareness into our parents, into ourselves, and say, those kids who have not obtained the minimum requirement or admission for tertiary education, I mean those academic programs, we always force our children to go for academic programs. What about this handwork, all these other things? Where we were immersed in the formal education, informal education actually, not formal.
Yeah.
When you look at the education system, three branches, informal, formal education, and non-formal education, and all these other things. But we know very well that our children who are working here, not even now, at our villages here, all over the villages, are not the people who have come to from university. Those who are coming from university, they rather prefer to go to urban town where they can work in the bank, in the office. But we also still have our office here in the region. Those are areas where we need to demystify the wrong concept or misconception.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that she knows from Nassau or whatever. You know, the guest speaker is coming from which profession? Is Nassau.
Yeah, she's the president. The president of Nassau. Yeah.
Imagine, the president of Nassau. So why can't you just go to Minister of Education and say, yes, we are going to have a program, a 2 or 3 month program, going in the village and say, yes, those who have fallen out from secondary education and they have got to this, how do we mainstream them into the mainstream of the economy?
All right.
We are waiting for them and they are also waited. Even if you are consulted, when you are consulted, you are part of the decision-making process. What are you telling us? You are consulted and you cannot make a decision. When you go to your institution, can't you say, yes, these are the outcome that came out from the platform that we had, and this is the implementation action. We should do this and this, that.
Okay.
Who else is going to do that? It's not them.
All right. Let's see what others have to say. All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, great.
08333-66091. 08333-66091. All right. Yeah, there's a lot to do. There is a lot to do. I think this is like, you know when you have that gun, well, how do you, the gun race? That gun you shot, you know, the race just started. That's just a gun, you know, that gone off, and the race have just started. So there are issues and there are challenges. They are all manageable, but you know, the other thing that you mentioned, maybe who's monitoring this now? How do we ensure that TVET degree actually means something to employers, not just locally but internationally? That's a good question, because if we producing graduate with certificates that are not recognized beyond our borders, we just created another dead end. We just created another dead end. So and then the issue of industry alignment, okay? So now the NTA conducted a consultation across all 14 regions. So they say this aligns training with industry needs and international standard. Very good, very good. That's exactly what should happen, okay? But here's my question. Here's my question. Which industries, which employers were at the table? This is what, well, Uncle Bona was talking about consultation here now. So which employers were on the table? We're talking about now that, you know, the consultant across the 14 regions, we're talking about industry alignment. Now, who were, which industries, which employers were at the table? We know that Namibia's economy is dependent on, it's heavily dependent on mining, fishing, agriculture, tourism. So now the question is, are we designing this pathway to serve those sectors specifically? You know? Or are we creating a generic program that sounds impressive, but don't match actually job opening? Because that is the issue. Yeah? Let's take mining as an example. You know, Agro American, Scorpion Zinc, the diamond industry, they need specialized technical, you know, skills. Those need specialized technical skills. Geology, engineering, heavy machinery operations. They need those technical skills. Are our TVET colleges equipped to teach that? Are they equipped to teach that? Do we have instructor? This is also the question, the concern that Ms. Nangolo was also highlighting. Do we have instructor?
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epepa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu ne dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to kwika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o presente dano ko miedhe vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo ko miedhe hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Pamiyede mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu tima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, and we're talking about the new pathways through vocational training, through vocational system. So, and I was saying earlier on that we're looking at the consultation that was made, and I was my question was actually which industry that has been consulted, which employers were at the table of that consultation, because overall we're looking at Namibia's economy, as I said earlier on, is depending, is heavily dependent on some sectors, sectors like, you know, agriculture, tourism, fishing, and mining, and now, my question was, are we designing now this pathway to serve those sectors specifically, you know, or are we creating just those generic programs that sounds impressive, but actually don't match the actual job openings that are there. That's why we have so many graduates don't actually match the opening, the job openings in those, in some of these sectors. So an example, we have the mining, for example. I give an example of the mining. So we have Anglo-American, Scorpion Zinc, you know, diamond industries, all this institution, all this, you know, sector, this sector need specialized technical skills. Engineering, heavy machinery operation, geology, you know. So, and the question is, are our TVET colleges equipped to teach that? And Ms. Nangolo also mentioned, do we have instructors? This is the concern in rolling out this. Do we have instructors who are actually worked in these, in those industries? Or we will be actually having, you know, people coming from outside? Yeah? Or we expatriate this expertise to Namibia? So we will be hiring people with teaching diplomas, should we, or we'll be hiring people with teaching diplomas but not practical mining experience who are coming now through this, you know. So worked integrated learning sounds great. It sounds great, but it requires partnership. It requires partnership. It requires companies also willing to take on trainees, eh? Pay them, mentor them. It requires, you know, company. And in one, I also have to think, you have to think, in a tough economic climate, you know, with an unemployment above 30%, will now business commit to that? Will they commit to that? Or will this become another program that looks good on paper but lacks, you know, a real-world implementation? So, yeah, as I said, there are challenges, and we just, I'm just highlighting those. And the money. Let's talk about the mullah. Eh? Imali. Because nothing in education is free. Nothing in education is free. You know, even the free tertiary education is subsidized. It's not free. It is not free. All right? It's subsidized. So the minister acknowledged this transformation. This transformation actually requires additional investment. It requires additional infrastructure. It requires lecturer training. It requires revised funding models. So now the concern, and maybe the question is where is that money coming from? And when I'm asking that question is because our national budget is already stretched, my friend. It's already stretched. So we're talking about health. We're talking about social services. We're talking about infrastructure. You know, everyone's competing for the same pot. Yeah? All of those are competing for the same pot. Yeah. Education, of course, get a significant share, yes. But within education, there are also competing priorities. Early childhood development, primary schools, secondary schools, universities. And now expanded TVET system, reaching up to doctoral level. Eh? You see? So something will have to give. Something somewhere will have to give. Now will we see budget cuts elsewhere? You know, when you have to develop this, you have to see some budget cut elsewhere. Will TVET expansion come at the expenses of our universities or basic education? And think about student also. Let's think about student. Even in TVET, there are costs, you know, cost materials, tools, uniforms, transport, accommodation, the student for those studying far from home, you know. So if we are targeting young people who are dropped out because their families couldn't afford to keep them in school, so how are they going to afford TVET also? So, yeah. And the National Student Financial Assistance, or the NASFAF, National Student Financial Assistance Fund, you know, already struggling to meet demand already. So will it expand to cover TVET student at all level? You know, like, or will this pathway only be accessible to those who can pay? Let's get to the caller.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good
compliments
morning.
For the new year.
Yeah, compliments for the new year too.
What's up? How's it going?
Ah, so far so good, man. It's a new year, new hope. So, how was the holiday? Did you enjoy it?
The holiday was fine. Yeah. So as long as we had rain to some of us.
Yeah. What did you say?
Oh, the didenga money pururo pongaota I yes.
No, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Mm. Yeah, thank you very much. Mm. I think it's about time the government realized that some of the policies that they follow does not really hold water for their peoples. For a great learner, I have observed because I myself am in the industry.
Yeah.
And then I could say it. What they have now introduced can actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Simple because one, if you go back, if you reflect back where we come from, people have gone and worked in the mines and factories and so forth, and then obtain skills while they are actually working.
Yeah.
And then they become experienced.
Mm.
And then most of these people are people who did not went through a formal education system. We are talking about our fathers now.
Yeah.
they went and worked there in the mines, and then they worked there, wherever. When they come back, they know something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right now also, most of these people who were actually dumped, let me say were dumped by the government. You remember early when we got our independence, I just don't remember which way it was, when they said, if you fail grade 10, you are no longer going to repeat the grade 10s. That means you have to go wherever you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, subsequently dumped out of the systems of education.
Of education, yeah.
Yeah, so most of these people went on a job seeker, looking for jobs. They started working in construction companies, operating machine drivers, and so on. Welders. You find these people now, especially in the field of electricity.
Mm.
There are people whom we know that are well skilled, that knows everything when it comes to electricity.
Yeah. Mm.
They are much more skillful in experiences, much more than those that are having qualifications.
I even know someone like that, exactly the way you described it, who just, you know, came out. It started actually just working, didn't go to like a formal, like VCT or something that I can learn.
Yeah.
And he actually does far better than people who have qualifications.
Of course.
Yeah.
They are a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you have to put them in things, I think right now, they are about 70 to 60%.
Yeah.
Those peoples. I have one. When I was working with the South African peoples, they supplied us with a machine that was supposed to be connected, and this guy struggled to speak English. The communications was a little bit that difficult for them. They called me. I was in window. Said,
yeah.
How do you make use of this person? They said, no, just put. He took the plan, read the plan, and said, put each and every machine on its position.
Yeah.
I will work during the night. Tomorrow when this guy comes, this guy is done. Every machine is working as supposed to be. They put it on the system, it's working. There's nothing. There's no an error of a power failure or something.
Yeah.
It's working. And they called me, are you saying you're going to send somebody here? Say, it's not necessary, my friend. This guy has done his work. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't only speak, but he does his work.
Yeah.
Mm. Go in the panel beaters. Most of the panel beaters company, they are here, big one. That are covered by insurances. People that are doing this panel beating, painting, sprays, and all those things are people that have never gone a formal education.
Yeah.
Some of them are from Kunene regions, the Vembas. Those are the people that occupied that industry.
Mm.
If you have a panel beat company and you don't have any of those people, my friend, you see, the bricklayers,
yeah.
90%, I mean, 75% of bricklayers are those that does not have certificate.
Yeah, definitely.
They carry their ray out, they call it a ray out, the water pass. They carry their tools. Put him on the corner, and then you see how is he going to raise that corner.
Exactly.
Get somebody with a certificate that you will come and break that corner away. Give him to fix steels of an upstairs, somebody who doesn't have it. Give him a plane. He will study it. He will read it. He will rent it. But he will not explain it to you.
Yeah.
You just said he understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So this is where we are saying the government has completely failed the people. And I think it's also about time that the government come up with a policy to accommodate people that has pass apparently the alleged eligibility's age of about 26, 27 upward. You see, government must try and find the policies of and accommodate those people.
Yeah.
This is very, very, very bad for nations like Namibia to only accommodate those at 25.
Yeah, but,
and those
but
that looking, are 25.
Looking where we are, even technologically wise, you know, and the investment that we need to actually put in, do you think we're a little bit far behind We can always start. Definitely, we need to start somewhere. So, but do you think that we may be too far to get where we want? You know, in this area.
In terms of technology.
In terms of technology, in terms of upgrading, you know, infrastructure, in terms of instructors. I mean, the trainers or whatever, you know, experts in those fields. Yeah,
we are not that far.
Mm.
I don't think we are that far, but we just have to accommodate each and everybody.
Yeah.
We are different. Technologies, I think, like I used to talk to you, government have to draw a line of where we end and where we start and where we end. Say, for examples, you know, people are under the impression saying that these are richest peoples in the world. They have a sleepless night is because of unemployment, or because of the livelihoods of peoples in their country.
Yeah.
They are replacing human beings with a robot, and they are the one that are behind the technologies. We can have technologies like cell phones, transferring monies, but there must be you know what we are talking about.
Mm.
These old systems of having people's shovels, picks, and all those is still working, and we can integrate it in the machines, but we should control the machine also.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
yeah, we should control the machine also. And the machine must be controlled by a human being. The machine must be able to.
As human being, we should also be innovative.
Yeah, we must. We should also be.
And be creative, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that those are the things that our governments really have to think of.
Yeah.
These things of saying, yeah, the world must be digitalized and so on. It's not yours. You don't control that.
Mm.
You must think of who holds the burden, who has the power at the end of the day, and what exactly do they want, you see? So I think it's a very good initiative.
Yeah, no, it's a very good call
by the government. But now we have to look at.
Yeah.
When we train these peoples, do we have an environmental for them to integrate them in terms of working?
Yeah.
Do we have it enough for them? We see Indians and Chinese are also now importing their works. Some of them are even operating forklifts, these things, the lifting machine. And then they are even driving here. So they are even tracking. They're doing each and every things that Canadians are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we somehow have to come up with a policy and say, yeah. Look.
You mentioned environment. If we engage, if we follow this path, do we have a bigger environment to actually accommodate what we supply?
That is now the big problem. That is now what I'm saying. The government should now, because you can train somebody, and at the end of the day, you train somebody.
Yeah.
Then there is no a conducive environmental of where you can actually integrate this person or accommodate this person.
Exactly.
Say, for instance, this person does not want to work for somebody. He want to work for his own. He want to work for his own company. Can we capacitate these persons in terms of tools and even a space for a person where it can work, where he can actually operate from?
Exactly.
You see? Yeah. And then also some financials. What is this person going to do? You see?
Yeah.
I have been with someone who me and him, we failed grade 10s, but we upgraded him. He became a welder.
Yeah.
Just when I was in the holiday, he said, look, when I started to weld, I have come up with my motorbike. You see, the motorbike that runs on the road. But he said, no, it's not certified.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
Mm.
You see, that is now, imagine if the government could have take that person and say, look, let's come up with something
Yeah, we fund you to
whereby you can actually
this initiative. Yeah. Mm.
You see, this person could even by this time this could have come up with a car.
Yeah.
A running car.
Exactly.
You see, there was a time also one of the guys who fixed gun. Somebody fixed gun. Yeah.
But you could be a professional player by now.
Yeah, of course, yeah. You see, that happened to us even. They chased you out, go and look for work. So, ote onu apangero njebo, taitopa, maro ohayashaki namwe.
Yeah.
Maro no kwiru wako, tatuwa modoro ngoshashita kwa pangero njebo. Mare pangero lare njebo. Moteko. So a person come up with a gun, he made a gun
from
on his
scratch,
own.
From scratch, yeah. You know.
Yeah. From scratch. But the police come and arrest that person. You are killing the skill of the person.
Yeah.
Eh? The Russians, the person that who comes up with the AK-47.
Yeah.
What did they do? Look at the Russian today. Look at the Russian today.
Exactly.
Eh? They have some tools of securities that can actually sting off from that person. Hmm? For us, somebody comes up with an helicopter, say, ah, it's nonsense. With it. You cannot fly with that thing. Yeah. Eh?
So
and these are the environmental that we are actually talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Well, Mike, thank you very much. But
no,
if I have time, I wanted to say one of the, if you would allow me, I have been there. You know, when I go to the north, I always observe.
Yeah.
There are two schools that I have noticed. They are in Oshkoto regions.
Yeah.
These schools, they were pre-primary school, I think, primary school. And then it happened that there are no children. I think maybe a school to be established, there should be a number of people that need to be, learners that need to be accommodated at that school. So these schools, they closed down.
Closed down?
They closed down.
Yeah.
Some of them, they have electricities and so on. But if you go to Onehale now and you said, my child did not get a grade 10 or did not get a grade 12,
yeah.
grade 11, that child, if you did not make an application before last year, then that child is not going to be. That's where you find out that there are a lot of children that were not accommodated or they were not accepted by school or admitted by schools because there are no spaces in schools.
Yeah.
Now, I was actually thinking, what is wrong with our people? Look, why don't you just upgrade that school to a secondary school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as we are talking now, some of these schools, you can actually make them tertiary education.
Yeah. True.
Like tertiary institutions or place, because like in Oshkoto itself, we have got no VTC, we have got no UNAM, we have got no IUM,
and this just need 2-3 buildings.
Of course.
Yeah.
You see, these are the environmental also that we are actually talking about, because.
Exactly.
Some of those people we train, they are going to build it. They are going to teach others to do how to do those jobs in those institutions. But we don't have them.
Yeah.
How big is Oshkoto? Count from leave Otume. Otume is Oshkoto, but just from Oshivelo. Just count from Oshivelo.
And actually, what you're saying is that make you think. How would we be able to do what we're saying? Actually, have. Now, through TVET, that we can be able to go to the level of doctorate while we can't even provide, you know, basic, you know, basic education, you know, a secondary level in a constituents, in a constituency, in a region or something like that, you know.
And the other thing is that, the system of education in our world. Once I say that, maybe you remember who I am. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. The system of education in our world.
Yeah.
You see, Most of the Chinese that are actually doing works here are prisoners, but they are able to do works that are off, that are supposed to be done by the engineers. They don't have qualifications, most of those Chinese. Why? Because these Chinese, at the early pre-primaries, they are already doing practically construction.
Exactly. Yeah.
See, not theory, practically. You see?
Yeah, let's see if we can get someone else before we just...
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, great, thanks right, for coming through. Yeah?
Okay, bye.
All right.
All right, we can look at Beyond Our Borders for a moment. There are examples. You still can come through. We still have about 5 minutes before we hand over to Tate Naluvanda, who is coming up. We're going to coming up with Kutha Mosha. So make sure that you tune in for Kutha Mosha that's coming up immediately after we end our session here. So we can look at other countries, really. We have an example of, we have other countries. Now, Germany has a famous dual system. Student split time between classroom learning and workplace apprenticeship, you know? So, and it's very rigorous. It's very, very, very rigorous, respected, and it works, and it works. German vocational qualification are recognized globally. So, but Germany invested heavily. That's what we're talking about, that we need to invest in this. For many years, they build strong partnership between industries and education. So they ensured instructors were both qualified teachers and experienced, you know, practitioners. So can Namibia replicate that? Can we replicate that? But it requires patience. It also requires patience. It requires consistency and long-term commitment. It should be a commitment that we commit to. And we're really happy, everybody from whoever, you know, coming through here, is that, you know, this is a very good idea. It's a great idea. So, yeah. And we have Switzerland. Switzerland also has a strong vocational track. And about two-thirds of Swiss students. Let's have a last caller quickly.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mark.
Yes.
Yeah, just give me 2 minutes only.
All right. So that's all we have anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to add to the last caller, which is correct what he's saying. Yeah. You see, when you train people but you don't have anything to do with them, you just dump them in the street like that.
Yeah.
That's the problem, because now you say you give a person the knowledge, but we all know where we come from.
Yeah.
From our foundation. And if you don't have any backup, I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
That's why I'm always giving an example that, you know, mechanics are very short. Mala, it's not supposed to be that way. We have Lamatex, for example. Lamatex now has been sold by the, what, apparently for what, foreigner, what they call it? Foreigner, those guys who come to invest. They are foreign investors.
Yeah, who are coming in now, you know?
Yeah, foreign investors. And if you look, how much people have been paid by the, for these foreign investors, they're not able to take off their career.
Yeah.
Some of them, they are dropouts who are selling on those, behind the mechanism of what, those shops, all of those retailers, which they are supposed even to go back to their school, I mean, to improve their life.
Yeah.
But because there's not much our country can do. It's what I'm saying. Once you destroy the SME thing, you kill a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
I'm telling you, you can say what, but if you don't have any firm to take care of those people who are finishing their trade, those trainees, then I'm telling you, really, you didn't do nothing. You can have a PhD degree, then what?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
From Tibet.
But and then the thing is that you come and sit at home, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It's what I'm saying. No, what they need to do is to engage the people. A lot of people, they're having it. They are experts. Like the gentleman who just left now. I'm telling you, you can talk about whatever you are trying to do, but why you are not taking, there's a lot of gap between the what? Trainees, and those who are, I mean, they are getting graduated, yeah, and the industry itself. There's a difference. And now it's a mismatch. They cannot work together because we still, units which are not upgraded up to now. If you go there, they are still using the module. But people are talking about them. So there's a lot of improvement that need to be done, my friend. But I'm sure I like the way they are thinking because they're not over you.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's something that we should be, all of us, really, you know, push that. You know, we need to push that. We need to have our eyes looking at that and make sure that we push that idea, you know?
I'm telling you, Mike, because if you're having a politician who are getting the degrees to be called doctors, they didn't study. Some of them didn't study because they've been in that position for long. Yeah. And that was, you have the people who have been, those studies who have been, like the last caller was saying, this guy cannot speak English, he cannot pronounce him, he doesn't have a certificate, but he can do practical, I mean, you can see he's doing the job.
Yeah.
But because he doesn't have a certificate and you don't really accomplish him, it's a problem.
Mm.
And anyway, Michael, let me give you, because otherwise I see that we are in the master of life.
Yeah, well, we have actually come to the end of the show already now. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, my brother.
All right. No, thanks for coming through.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let's tie this all together as we come to the end of this segment. So what we have is truly a transformative vision from our government. It's a really bold attempt to fix two of our biggest problems at once. You know, the higher number of young people failing in the traditional school system and the desperate need of practical skills in our economy. So this new pathway from grade 9 to PhD through TVET system, it offers that hope. It really offers that hope. And it offers a legitimate, a respected alternative for our young people. And it says to the student who is brilliant with her hands, but struggling with the exams in the normal system, there's a place for you. There's a place for you. You can succeed, and you can reach the highest level of education. So it promises also to align our education system with the real world needs of our industries, which could also boost our economy and also create jobs. And that's what we want. And that's what we're talking about. So, yes, our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 10. And that's actually bring us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Mr. Naluvanda is already here. So, Dr. Naluvanda.
Chitonga kwera tacho mapya ape wapo imbundu chashiva na vetu tuvatumange ko iputudilo ndomapina tutala kwali ndeongo lina ne japo pafe dili yeko chiye ko fande uikulia na itajoko utadiko na livatendo ula ayo shirika tuneke chatuva poshiria
paiva vene japo dili meko fa mara ka we know yo kulonga mapya
ushuja paiva tuetapo ike kutare computer ndita tuetapo sho tuongo na ichashe pete posho tahitu kwa terepo Osho hatu pewe ike tutarunyo ni konje atutarike tarambane no kwaninga shike okay mako ke terupa kulia roke research atu tips ya kidira nad nde ashitulika muna micho tulimo iko zero nando tune professor tune engineer ipo tudira etu pi kuliano ponongo no niwo marutu etu shita velenga tunapo ike zero maro tuna ongwanwa ntata kuma ingilisha kefiku okala unu ngenge uno ikulia Okalo nu ngengu no meva. Okalo nu ngengu na. Iye mbayo te idruku kwa telapo palu tu.
Yeah.
No pokolele. Okalo nu unirufo yoye. Okalo nu uninamu enyo yaishi. Yeah. Nena, otuna ongereka ya dopa. Moi ni maike kupapa.
Yeah.
Ongereko ya dopa, okuanga nifovana. Una miti wetu wadopa nandi tuno ipangero okwe etapo shonti utuverule seven yeah. Mala iye mbotu ina ndashiduli koyo teike tutano ukila teidile ke Amerika yeah. No ke China iyo tupange no ndapa ihatu yongwa shashingotu wapa shukatu tulako oveta mm-hmm. Manganeve nyata afukula
yeah.
Ngashingo vafukulo kaweno ngoporo neshime futa
yeah.
Ishiteke tako veta natango nyohanshe ine kilimu wa wavu
yeah.
Ikuna leto kwa tota hikatiwa ne ayo she mbadingilo sha shetwa pokondo ushirieli linga shike hatureshi ovi Victoria otafola ini matave yulu kila nitashiku fanwa lidingila
ya kupikinga shini mai tunape ifike cellphone aditu nati ini mai kulonge cellphone so haitipe omuhejo
omuhedi olizi umomwe ke jomu te ilongo mama ya kefiko elo lita tutwe kende okatarie kakalele kipalala nbano notina yokwaliata kotina natango mara kishinge ngotina eta pwekipa
Yeah. Yeah, we are coming to the program.
Yeah,
all right.